All right now, a very pleasant good day to each and every one of you. I'm Brother James, and I greet you as always in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I welcome you to the Preaching of the Cross radio broadcast. This program originates at the Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, Florida, in the United States of America, and is heard by the grace of God around the world. We want to give a very special and a very particular welcome to our listeners in West Africa to this broadcast, following the one that preceded it, on the question, is the Quran the Word of God? Is the Quran the Word of God? And we especially thank God for each and every one of you that is tuned in today that is of the Muslim faith, a member of the Islamic religion, a believer in Allah, a follower of Muhammad. We welcome you. We greet you. We're so very happy that you're listening to the program today. We are considering with you in a two-part message the basic difference between the statements of the Quran and the beliefs of the Muslims regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Muslim faith, Muhammad himself declares that Jesus was not God, not the Son of God, and that he was only an apostle. And yet the Quran teaches very clearly and very plainly that Jesus Christ was Almighty God. We are considering this truth on the basis of four factors. Number one, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there are four things that will be true. Number one, there should be an earlier prophecy or expectation of his birth, which his coming fulfills. We saw this to be true in the Quran, the writings of the Quran in S5:49. Three more factors that we are going to consider on the broadcast today. Number two, his coming, conception or birth, ought to be supernatural, extraordinary, an incredible miracle which could only be explained if he were the Son of God. That is, if Jesus Christ were deity. Number three, his life should be highlighted with miracles, and his teachings should withstand the passage of time. Jesus would be truly sinless. And number four, Jesus should conquer death. Now, the second factor, having considered the first on the last broadcast, the second factor we would expect if Jesus Christ were divine is that his coming should be supernatural. Yes, it should be an incredible miracle, which could only be explained if Jesus were the Son of God. This, in my view, is the crucial test of divinity. And if the Quran satisfies this requirement, then the Quran will be asserting that Jesus is the Messiah, the God-sent Savior, God himself manifest in a body of human flesh. For a child to be conceived, the laws of nature are to be observed. There must be the union of a man with a woman. In all history, throughout all ages, only one birth makes the claim of a virgin birth. And only one birth, in only one birth, has this claim been substantiated, that is, in the birth of Jesus. Now, once again, let us not look at the Bible, which is the Christian authority, the word on which the Christian leans, but let us look at these quotations taken from the Quran. The Quran first speaks of the mother of Mary. The Bible makes no reference to the mother of Mary, who became the mother of Jesus. It is the Quran, which goes back to Jesus' grandmother. And the Quran says this of the grandmother when the little baby Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born. The grandmother of Jesus had this to say, as recorded in S3:36. O my Lord, behold, I am delivered of a female child, and God knew best. I have named her Mary, and I commend her and her offspring to thy protection from the evil one, the rejected. End of quotation. So we find in the Quran that the infant Mary, who later became Jesus' mother, is commended to the protection from the devil, the evil one, the rejected one. And then follows in the Quran a description of Mary's growth in purity and beauty, Further, God supplies her, who was to be the mother of Jesus, with sustenance. Let us read what the Quran says in S 3:37. Right graciously did her Lord accept her, Mary. He made her grow in purity and beauty. To the care of Zachariah was she assigned. Every time that he entered her chamber to see her, he found her supplied with sustenance. He said, O Mary, whence comes this to you? She said, From God, for God provides sustenance to whom he pleases without measure. End of quotation. Now, in short, the Quran is here giving details of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is not found in the Bible. Mary is literally fed by God. The Quran next identifies the young Mary in this manner. And all these quotations are taken directly from the Quran. Now, as I said to you on the last broadcast, if you weren't with us, the Quran that I have in my possession is the translation of Yusuf Ali. And the reason we're using this one is because it's recognized by Muslims around the world as being a good and proper translation. Now, what the Quran says about Mary, how Mary conceived the baby Jesus, we are going to read you from S 3:42, 43, 45, and 47. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, God hath chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Mary then is chosen and purified. The Quran continues, O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly, prostrate thyself, and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. And now comes this vital and far-reaching declaration in the Quran. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, God giveth thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter, and the company of those nearest to God. He shall speak to the people in childhood and in maturity. He shall be of the company of the righteous. Mary's reply again from the Quran is, O my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? The angel replied, Even so, God createth what he willeth. When he hath decreed a plan, he but said to it, Be, and so it is. Now, followers of Islam can never explain away these clear, unequivocal statements written by their prophet Muhammad, who declared that Jesus was born without a human father. This alone proves the deity of Jesus Christ. This alone proves that he is the Son of God, not the son of a man. Further, the angel said in S 3:45 that his name will be Christ Jesus. Now, Christ means the anointed one. Muhammad was not referred to as Christ. He was born normally. He had a mother and a father. Jesus was born without a father. Yet the Quran would have us believe that Muhammad, a man, was greater than Jesus, who is God, come down to this world as a redeemer for all mankind. Now, what the Quran has said, beyond question, is that Mary was a virgin, the angels brought the glad tidings of the coming birth of Jesus to Mary, Mary asked how could this be when no man had touched her, the answer was, God createth what he willeth, Mary conceives, Jesus is born. Now, all this is according to the writing in the book called the Quran. The angel said to Mary, his name will be Christ Jesus, and Jesus was born of the will of God. He had no human father. Is he not then the Son of God? Put another way, based on the Quran, who would you say is his father? Surely the answer is God. My Muslim friends, is this not clear? And incapable of any other meaning. I repeat, it is interesting to note that there is no prophecy about the birth of Muhammad, nor Moses, nor any of the prophets. And no one, however holy and chaste, could claim that he or she was born without a father. Yet what Muhammad wrote in the Quran had been foretold 740 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, when he wrote, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That is God with us. Indeed, in the Quran, Al-Imran 5:45, or verse 45, Jesus is referred to as, quote, "the greatest above all in this world and in the world to come." Now, who can deny the miraculous birth of Jesus? Who can deny that it was supernatural? Yes, you, the followers of Islam, must readily agree with good reason that Jesus had no human father, for this is what your Quran says. Why then do you doubt that Jesus was the Son of God? If God willeth that Jesus should be so born, who are we, you and I, to doubt that Jesus is divine? My friends, on the basis of your own authority, the Quran, you must accept Jesus as the Son of God. Now permit me, for emphasis again, to state that special attention must be paid to the words used by the angels to Mary. And recorded in the Quran, his name will be Christ Jesus. Now this word, Christ, means the Anointed One, the translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. Now, Messiah, in Jewish theology, refers to the divinely appointed deliverer. The angels, by transmitting this message from God to Mary, were placing their seal of approval on the divinity of Jesus. Again, I pause to remind you that this quoted passage is taken directly from the Quran. If you accept the Quran, this you must accept, that the angels from God said his name will be Jesus. You must therefore accept that Jesus is God, or deny your Quran. All this fits in beautifully with the Bible, for according to the Gospels, the Messiahship of Jesus was expressly proclaimed by angels at his birth, Luke 2:11, and by Peter at Caesarea Philippi, and also explicitly confessed that Jesus was the Christ, Mark 8:29, Matthew 16:16. Now, the point I make, my brothers, is that one cannot approbate and reprobate. You cannot admit a fact with one breath and at the same time deny that fact. And your authority, the Quran, says God, through his angels, called the baby Jesus, Messiah, the Christ. How then can you still maintain the stand that Jesus is not divine? The second requirement, his supernatural conception and birth, is satisfied. Now, the third factor, the third requirement, that his life should be fraught with miracles and his teachings should withstand the passage of time, and also that he should be without sin. It is nearly 2,000 years since Jesus died. When he died, his disciples were in disarray. They had fled. He was betrayed, denied, and deserted. Yet his teachings are stronger today than at any time. Yes, 2,000 years have gone by, and in addition to the millions and millions of Bibles which have been circulated in all languages, millions of books have been written seeking to explain and bring his teaching to all mankind. For 2,000 years, his teachings have been the light of the world, and his word continues to endure forever. Although Jesus never had an army, today there are 2,000 million Christians marching under his banner of love. And truly his teachings have withstood the passage of time. Like them or despise them, they are still effectual today. The Bible records his many miracles. But since in this broadcast we're considering the Quran, not the Bible, let us look at the Quran, S 3:48 and 49. And see what it says about his miracles. God will teach him the book of wisdom, the law of the gospel, and appoint him an apostle to the children of Israel with this message: I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, in that I make for you out of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, and breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by God's leave. And I heal those born blind, and the lepers, and I quicken the dead by God's leave. End of quotation from S 3:48 and 49. Now Yusuf Ali, in his editorial commentary in the Quran, writes that those miracles of curing the blind and the lepers and raising the dead are in the canonical Gospels. He also states that giving the clay bird life is only found in some of the apocryphal gospels. The Quran gives a wide spectrum of Jesus the healer, and there is given to Jesus the power to quicken or revive the dead, a power that Muhammad never claimed, much less exhibited. Would you agree that only if he were God would Jesus be without sin? You would have to agree that. And Islam shares the belief that Jesus was sinless. It speaks of the sin of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and even Muhammad, but nowhere attributes any sin to Jesus. The conclusion is expressed in one of the traditions, quote, "Every child born of Adam is touched by Satan the day his mother is delivered of him, with the exception of Mary and her son." You know, it's interesting to note that the Quran has no message for sinners who will receive nothing from God except judgment, and who have no merit to advance nor rewards to weigh against their failures. Its symbol is not the cross, which speaks of grace, God's free and unmerited favor to sinners. Only the gospel of Jesus proclaims salvation through the merit of another who paid the price of sin in a unique historical act of self-sacrifice. The Quran, as if to single out Jesus and place him in a different capacity, gives the following titles to Jesus, which titles are not ascribed to Muhammad: the Messiah, the Word of God, the Sure Saying. All bespeak the deity of Jesus. So the third factor necessary to show that Jesus is God is established from the Quran. That is, miracles followed Jesus, and he was without sin. And finally, we come to the aspect that Jesus, if divine, should be able himself to conquer death. The Bible provides ample evidence of those who saw him after his resurrection: Peter and more than 500 at one time. But we are confining our attention to the Quran. Now, the contention that is being considered is this: the Muslims claim that Jesus is not the Son of God and was not divine. Yet, how does this conclusion square with the irrefutable pronouncements which we have studied so far in the Quran itself of the law which was fulfilled by the coming of Jesus, plus his miraculous conception and divine birth, in which the Quran asserts that Jesus had no father but God? Plus, we have 3 years of teaching by Jesus, which from a tiny area of the earth now covers the entire world. Plus, the miracles Jesus performed during these 3 years on earth, all showing beyond doubt that truly no one was like him, for he was and is the Son of God, and as the Quran puts it, was the only one without sin. Now we come to the fourth factor. What does the Quran say about Jesus' death and resurrection? Well, look at S4:157. Now, this is the passage often referred to in support of the contention that Christ was not crucified. But is that what it really says? Absolutely not. S4:157 and 158 say, quote, "We killed Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the Apostle of God. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them. All those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For a surety they killed him not. Nay, God raised him up unto himself, and God is exalted in power wise." Now let's examine this passage sentence by sentence. They, the Jews, said, "We killed Jesus. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them." In other words, they thought they had killed or crucified Jesus. "And those who differ therein are full of doubts." That is, those who did not share this view of killing him are themselves full of doubts, with only conjecture to follow. Then comes the statement, "For a surety they killed him not." Of course they did not kill Jesus finally and for all time. In one sense, yes, they killed him physically, but that was not the be-all and end-all. For here in the Quran comes the punchline, the line which one can with good reason advance in support of the resurrection, and not against the resurrection, as has been urged: "Nay, God raised him up unto himself. Now, what else could this mean but that man could not destroy Jesus, for God resurrected Jesus? Is this not the straightforward interpretation? In the Bible, in Luke 24:46, Jesus said it was necessary for Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day. In Acts 2:32, Peter, speaking about Jesus, said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Of a truth, God raised him up unto himself, as the Quran states. Now, what is the importance in enlightenment, however? It's the continuation of S4:158, and that is S4:159 in the Quran, where we read, "And there is none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death, and on the day of judgment he will be a witness against them." Now, surely this implies in the context of the general scheme of the preceding surahs the meaning that, number one, Jesus was put to physical death. Number two, God raised him up. Number three, on judgment day he will be a witness against them. Now, a witness, knowing those who crucified him, and will bear witness against them on the judgment day, that's what the Quran is speaking about. The Quran is saying God raised him up unto himself, implying that Jesus is now in heaven and that he is worthy of regard in this world and the world to come. The Quran is asserting that Jesus is ascended to heaven, yet Muhammad, who is revered by the Muslims, has yet to be raised up to be with God in heaven. Now, the conclusions I've asked you to draw are all from your own Quran. I do so without relying on the Bible. There are scores of passages in the Bible which point to the deity of Jesus Christ. I've omitted these. Indeed, so often Jesus himself declared, "I am the Christ." Since he could not be a good, a righteous man, and a liar at the same time, his own assertion and testimony must bear considerable weight. Now, we've examined the one side of the Quran that squares with the Bible. We could take some time to consider those places where the Quran contradicts itself, and perhaps we shall on yet another broadcast. But in the meantime, there are four requirements. If Jesus Christ really and truly was and is Almighty God, there are four factors which would be present. There should be an earlier prophecy or expectation of his birth, which his coming fulfills. This is stated to be the truth according to the Quran itself in S5:49. Secondly, his coming, conception or birth, ought to be supernatural, extraordinary, an incredible miracle which could only be explained if he were the Son of God, not the Son of Man, if Jesus Christ were deity. And this is stated conclusively in S3:42-47. Thirdly, his life should be highlighted with miracles, and his teachings should withstand the passage of time. Jesus would be truly sinless. And my friend, this is borne out throughout the length and breadth of the Quran, including S3:48-49. And then finally, Jesus should conquer death. He should no longer be dead, holden by death in the grave, but he should be alive, raised up unto God. And this is stated absolutely in S4:157-158. Now, you know, there are those that would still like to argue and contend that the statement in the context attributing to the Jews the words, "We killed Jesus Christ, but they killed him not, nor crucified him," being the commentary thereon in the Quran, there are still those that would contend that this proves that Jesus did not die. No, my friends, it proves that no man killed him. It proves that Jesus was not put to death either by Jews nor by Roman soldiers. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down." Jesus was not killed. He was not murdered. He was not put to death by men in the true technical sense of the word. No, the Bible says that Jesus, while hanging upon the cross, cried with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus was not martyred. He was not murdered. He laid down his life, a voluntary sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That whosoever would acknowledge their sin, repent of their sin, and put their faith and trust in the sacrificial death of God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, and call upon him from a sincere and believing heart, that God would give unto them the free gift of everlasting life. My friends, I have had no evil or unkind word to say about Muhammad, but I must say this. He did not die to pay for your sins. He has not risen from the dead. Therefore, he cannot save you. Nor can you save yourself, no matter how true and faithful you may be to the path of Islam. You can never cleanse yourself of sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This concludes our two-part message on the proof from the Quran that Jesus is God. If you would like to have a copy of this for your very own to review again and again, you may write and request it. Our mailing address is 199 Damascus Road, 199 Damascus Road, DeLand, D-E-L-A-N-D, DeLand, Florida. The zip code number is 32724. That mailing address is in the United States of America.